Get everything you need for your next project at Menards. Keep your gas-powered equipment running smooth with True Fuel. It's ethanol-free, ready to use, and extends the life of your equipment. Get a 110-ounce jug on sale now through June 14th. Shop our selection of True Fuel in-store and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to part two of our conversation with Mike Bloomfield about surviving the afterlife. So tell me more about that. Tell me about some of the investigations that you've gone on that have been, and you mentioned the Octagon House. Tell me more about some other experiences that you've had.
It's basically just like going into places. You get this, I get this feeling, this like a static electricity feeling.
Okay.
And that's when I know when they're there. But it's like, I don't know. It's, you're just wondering, you know, why are they still here? Why are they choosing to go? Why do they go through walls? Why do they go walk down hallways?
Sure.
If they walk down hallways, and I've seen them go through walls, why do they take the hallways?
Well, yeah. Like, logistically, why are they doing this or that? Those are interesting questions.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think some have certain powers that others do not? Like, some are able to walk through walls and some need the hallways?
I believe we're way off on how many different kinds of energies, spirits, or whatever you want to call them, are out there. I believe some are evil. Most are good, but I mean, you got evil out there. Don't think there's not evil out there. There is.
What kind of evil spirits have you come in contact with?
I haven't. I don't want to. I just know they're there. And I ain't going to poke at the bear, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to poke at nothing. I just want to be respectful. And I try to respect, you know, everything. I try to respect people.
Sure. So tell me more about some locations that you have investigated that had experiences that really stood out to you.
Well, I went to the Hamilton County Jail here in Florida. I spent two nights in there in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine what them poor guys went through, man. The torture. God, they didn't have no heat, nothing. And I spent it was like in the 40s there.
Mm-hmm.
And during the investigation, it was, I believe, the second night, we was picking up odd and end things all through. But the first night, I believe we caught something just shoot across the floor so fast. We don't even know what it was. I mean, it was like, I don't know. It wasn't no animal or nothing like that. It was whatever it was. It was paranormal. It just went.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. But anyways, but the second night we was in there, I got up there to one of the cells, and I believe it was the black cell for the black inmates.
Mm-hmm.
That back then they had collar cells.
They segregated, yeah.
Right, and I believe it was a big black guy, because when I turned the corner, my camera, when I turned it into that cell and started towards that cell, I picked up a voice. And it sounded like a big black guy saying, "Why?" So I figured he just tortured.
Yeah.
So
some investigations, you know, the purpose is just to collect evidence and data and see what one can find. Is that what your goal is, or do you ever have goals beyond that when you interact with something that is on the other side? Some may say, you know, to help something cross over, things of that nature. What do you do?
If I can help it to move on, I want it to move on. I mean, if that's what it wants, if it wants to stay, then, you know, who are we to judge?
Why is it that some spirits need human intervention to help move on? That's an interesting logistical question I have about that.
I believe they think they're staying with family, but they don't realize that their family is going to pass on and they're going to still be here. After that, they're going to be stuck.
I guess the question would be, because if I were the ghost and I was on the other side, and there's a person who's never been dead before, you know, truly and you know, really over there for long term, and they're trying to give me instructions on what I should be doing in a world that they've never been at, I don't think I look at them as like the expert in like the afterlife. You know, I'd be like, I've been over here more than you. Why are you who's sitting in, you know, Pahrump, like, oh yeah, let me listen to your advice.
Nope. I tell you what, I ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
I'm still searching.
Well, yeah, there's obviously,
I've been doing this for 13 years and I'm still baffled.
There's no right or wrong answer to it. It's just a matter of opinion, you know?
Yeah.
But
I mean, you can sit there and argue with somebody about this, that. Neither one of you might be even right.
Oh, yeah. It's not a matter of arguing. It's just a matter of here's questions and let's think about this. What do you think about that? And that's how you learn more about all of this. Do you think that the level,
like the IR lights, believe it or not, IR lights.
Yeah.
If you go in there with too high of an IR light, you're going to scare it.
Yeah.
You ever think about deer?
Sure.
Well, anyways, I tried this. And every time I took a 950 IR over an 850 IR, the 950, I would catch nothing. The 850, I would. The 950 scares deer. Deer can see the 950.
Okay.
Deer can't see the 850.
Interesting.
See, a lot of people don't know that.
Sure. It's a matter of you got to kind of go in with stuff that's going to be conducive to what they'd be attracted to, what they feel safe with.
Scared, if an animal can see a blind or see an IR light,
mm-hmm.
You know, like a deer supposed to be blind.
Yeah.
Anyways, deer supposed to be collar blind.
Okay.
So anything collar blind supposed to not be able to see an IR.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Well, it can the 950.
Interesting. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the level of activity that occurs, let's say, on an investigation is influenced by the people who are doing the investigation, say someone like yourself who has more sensitivity and maybe they sense and know that you have more sensitivity over, you know, somebody going in that doesn't have that level of sensitivity?
Well, if you really want to stir them up, you go the old-fashioned way, use the dowsing rods.
Mm-hmm.
That will stir them up. And if you get more people in there, going through there, you know, more people's better, I think. And then once them people start fanning out, then you do your investigation. You'll be surprised.
Is it because there's more energy there with the living, or is it because there's just more eyes to capture things in a wider base?
No, you're stirring it up.
Okay.
It's the same thing as you're going in there and tearing down the wall.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get all that activity in there. They ain't used to that.
Have you ever been on an investigation where you felt like, I know you said you've avoided getting into to negative type things or being around that. Have you ever been in an investigation where you kind of came on the cusp of it? You could feel like this is something not good and just got yourself out of there?
Yeah. You just find somebody else that wants to do it for them or whatever you can do.
Yeah.
And just leave it at that.
Yeah, you don't keep digging as some do. Some get very excited about that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. Sure. No, that's so interesting. When you use equipment to communicate, obviously there's so many things today that did not exist many years ago. What's in your opinion some of the most effective at getting solid evidence?
One thing. A good camera.
Okay.
That's it. Good camera, good mic.
Video camera?
And, no. I'd say an IR, mm-hmm. not a full spectrum, but an IR.
Mm-hmm.
And a cheap mic, believe it or not.
A cheap mic.
Yeah, not an expensive one.
Why do you say that?
Because you're going to distort everything out of it, because it's going to filter everything.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Because some of the more complex mics will have compressors and all of that built in.
It will filter.
Interesting.
You don't want it to filter.
Yeah. The more raw, the more noise you're going to get. But that's what you're going for. You're trying to pick up the room. You're not trying to just pick up the voice directly in front as you would for like a voiceover or something.
Right.
Where do you see this going for yourself over the next handful of years? What do you ultimately want to find out here? What will make you a happy man before you end up passing away someday, as we all will? What goals do you have for yourself in this area?
Nothing. I just want everybody to realize, there is life after death.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Mike. Thank you to him for sharing his experiences on the program today. And thank you for listening and supporting the program. We cannot do this without you. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.